Alrighty, we're running a test now. Mic check, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, before we talk to June Zamyan. Alright, level one. That might be smart, yeah. I don't mind some background noise at all, that's just fine, but ringing phones get a little irritating after the second ring. That's fine. That won't be any problem at all. Nope, that's fine. All right. Here comes June Zamyan. In 3, 2, 1. Our guest is the manager of community and media services for the Department of Public Utilities, June Zamyan. June, I know that the light division, the water division, always are trying to come up with more programs to serve their customers better. You've got something brand new to tell us about now.
Yes. We have a program. It's called Friend to Friend, and it's a voluntary program that customers can designate a third person or a third party, a friend or an organization, to be notified by our customer service section before their power would be cut off or water service would be cut off because of unpaid bills. The third party is not necessarily responsible for paying the bill, but might want to. It's really kind of designed for people who might, for some reason or other, forget to pay their bill or neglect to pay their bill. It might be an elderly person who's living at home alone. It might be someone who's having difficulty with the language. Or it might be someone who travels a lot. It's not an income thing. It's strictly, for some reason or other, might not pay their utility bill.
It just avoids that inadvertent cutoff, I guess, really.
Yes, it really does. And I know I speak for as a daughter of an older mother, older person. She had some medical problems where she just didn't pay her utility bill. In fact, she wasn't eating very well, and we found that out and, of course, took care of the situation right away. But this might be, we're talking for people who have elderly parents. They may want to have, may participate in this program, or it may be a neighbor, or you may be a member of a church or some other organization that wants to befriend somebody, you know, and it could be an income thing.
Is this third person in any way responsible for that debt?
No, unless they choose to. There's no mandatory responsibility at all. There is a form that you have to complete here at the Utilities Department, and if you let us know, we can send it to you. And both people agree, both parties agree to this, to participate in the program. And in my case, I would pay my mother's utility bill if it came, you know, and maybe the other person who's befriending this individual would too, but there is no responsibility.
Has this program been tried elsewhere around the country?
Yes, I found out about it. Portland General Electric has a program, also by the same name, by the way, and it's been tried on the East Coast, I know, a lot too. And it was a senior citizen seminar that I first heard about the idea and thought it was a good one to implement here.
Well, June, with the colder winter months coming on, I know the light division hates to turn off power in the first place. That's sort of a last resort you like to turn to. At what point, though, when there is a problem arising, might you turn to this third party?
Okay, we would turn to the third party right about the time that the 48-hour notice would be going out. At this point, the person has received a red bill. There's quite a bit of time has gone by from the original time that the electricity has been used and the services need to be paid. But before a 48-hour notice would go out, the customer service section would contact this third party and say, here's a problem, and just let them know. And then the problem would be either resolved or I guess the service would eventually be cut off. As I said, there's no mandate on the part of the third party to pay this bill. But in my going back to a personal situation again, it wasn't a matter of not wanting to pay the bill. It was simply an oversight caused by a medical problem that was resolved. I would like to also comment about the utilities policies for cutting off power. They generally they will not do it. It's a policy not to cut off power on extremely cold days when you have below freezing temperatures. They also don't cut power on a holiday, and they also don't cut power on a Friday. One other point is that the 48 hours has to do with 48 hours work days. It doesn't include weekends. So those are things that I think the customers ought to know in case they don't. With a red bill, and a red bill goes out after the original bill, and that's a warning bill, there is an envelope enclosure that goes out that, that explains briefly the customer, our customer policies and credit arrangements. And in and it talks about, because there is a fee if power is cut and water service is cut and then restored. But also on the back, it also describes the programs available through the Metropolitan Development Council and the Pierce County Community Action Agency for people who simply can't pay bills. And now we're talking about low-income people as opposed to other customers. But there is information that's available to customers all along the way, and I just wanted to point that out.
You know, we've mentioned the elderly and the ill and those who can't afford to pay. Another group you mentioned in passing is those who don't speak English. With the tremendous influx of foreigners we've had moving into this area, I can see where if they had some agency to work with them, perhaps a church, something like that, it could solve a lot of problems they probably don't even know exist because they don't speak the language.
Yes, we did hear of an instance, and I'm not sure it was in our service area, where a Korean lady's was cut, her service was cut. And the bills were all neatly piled up, and she just didn't have any idea as to what was coming and what she needed to do. Well, a friend of hers interceded who spoke both Korean and English and solved the problem for her. But this is something that church groups especially seem to know more about, some of the foreign-speaking people that are in this area and other organizations, as you mentioned. That might be they may want to take the first step and get a hold of us with regard to signing up for this program.
Again, the program is called Friend to Friend. They can find out about it, understanding their bill that's going out right now?
Yes, we have an envelope enclosure that started out, that began in November. It will go in November and December so that it covers all customers. And they can find out. There are several programs that are mentioned in that particular enclosure, and they are encouraged to call the customer service office, or they can call the public relations office and get that information.
A program like this, I would think, doesn't really cost you hardly any money to administer, and yet it's something that certainly can save a lot of problems down the road for both the customer and I would think also for you probably.
Yes, our computer is equipped to handle this extra information at no charge. I mean, no additional cost at all. There's a little bit of time looking up, of course, but if we don't have to send somebody out to contact people personally to cut service, that certainly is a savings. And of course it relieves the inconvenience to the customer of having the power cut. I would like to comment, I heard this morning that there is another program called Friend to Friend that deals with recruiting and training recruits for nursing homes, and I didn't want there to be any confusion. I want to make that point.
A good name is just popular, I guess.
Yes.
June, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been June Zamyan, the Director of Community and Media Services for the Department of Public Utilities. More of PM Tacoma coming up for you now, right after this.
In 3, 2, 1. PM Tacoma pays a visit to Tacoma Actors Guild. We visit TAG and its artistic director right now, Rick Tudor, with a brand new production, A Weekend Old right now. Stage Truck has been performed for a weekend. Rick, how was the first weekend?
Oh, I thought it went rather well. The actors seemed to be pleased with it, and I was certainly pleased with their performance. You recognize a couple of them from The Rainmaker. There's kind of holdovers, which does cause a problem in rehearsing. Rehearsal time has cut down considerably when you have someone performing in the evenings. That means you can only have them for a certain portion of the day, like no more than 5 hours. So, but I was, with the little time that we've had to work on it, I was very pleased with it.
And now you're directing your second straight performance, first The Rainmaker and now Stage Struck. That's a load for you, isn't it?
Well, it is. The tension has been up a little bit. I did do this at Port Townsend, The Rainmaker, the prior show to this. And it was not as taxing as it usually is in trying to put a show together in 3.5 weeks. So I had all of that time and a week to get ready, which really helped out. It contributed a lot to the good ensemble that people seem to rave about in Rainmaker.
Now, Stage Struck had its West Coast premiere here over the weekend. Is that kind of exciting to be the house that debuts a work?
It is, because you don't know exactly how it's, you know, you haven't seen it, and there's not much of a record of performance. I think I read one review of the show. So it is exciting. It's almost like testing a new play. You know, it does have a record, but it does have that feeling of ambiguity. Is it going to work? What works? What doesn't? That kind of excitement that goes along with doing something really for the first time, at least in this area.
Is the playwright extra interested in how it goes here, since it is a West Coast premiere?
I don't know. I was wondering about that. The show I tried to get last year, by the way, and some reason it was the rights were held up. I don't know whether he was reworking it or what, but I assume that the script that I have now is the finished product. As far as he's concerned, he's very prolific. He's probably done 5 or 6 major works besides this play.
Who is the playwright?
Simon Gray is his name, who people may recognize as the playwright of Butley, which is a wonderful play that was in the American Film Festival series and has been on TV several times. Otherwise engaged, his newest play is Quatermain's Term, which is just played on Broadway last year and will be playing, I think, at one of the Seattle theaters next season.
I've heard Stage Struck compared with Death Trap. Is it a similar type play?
Well, I think maybe in our promo we classified it as being of the genre of Death Trap, but if an audience member was or is expecting it to have as many twists and turns, I think that's impossible, because I think the ultimate twist and turn mystery is Death Trap and by Ira Levin, and there can be no other. But it is a mystery. It is about theater folk. It does have twists and turns of a similar nature, but it focuses, Stage Struck focuses more on the character, even though it does have one of those mystery plots, you know, where you do have some twists and turns, usually leading into the next scene, an abrupt surprise, you know, or a change of attitude.
Sounds like fun, in other words.
Well, it is fun. It is fun. I do like the... It's more psychological in its approach. We see a lot more of the inner workings of the people involved, whereas the Death Trap, it's more of a physical excitement and emotional excitement than of character, circumstance.
It sounds like then your crew who's playing the part, your cast, is that much more important. Tell us about your cast.
Richard R.A. Farrell, someone asked the other day, everybody in the play has is known by their initials. it just happened that way. In Equity, sometimes if you have the same first name as another Equity and first and last name, you have to change your name. So we have an R.A., we have a J.V., we have a C.R., and as a joke in the program, Joyce Harris changed her name in parentheses to J.E. So, they've all worked here. They're all very good, wonderful ensemble actors, which is one of the things that we really shoot for here at TAG. It's why it's called the Tacoma Actors Guild, because I feel very strongly that that's the real emphasis of that's really what makes a play work. It's the personnel you have in there and the way they work together. And not to take anything away from good playwriting, which is a very important aspect too, but of course, didn't have an actor, you're not going to see any of these things going on, right? If you didn't have an actor and the audience to perceive it, then theater doesn't work. So that, to me, is the essence of theater, is the actor in front of the audience, and a lot of good actors in ensemble.
And again, some of these people were just in The Rainmaker, is that right?
Yeah, R.A. Farrell played Noah. He's not too mean, but the persnickety brother. And J.V. Bradley played H.C. Curry, the father. In this, they have completely different roles. It's amazing to see them, and I bet some people don't recognize them.
As we walked in today, I noticed you were, for one of the first times, sitting down. I see you always running around all over the place. You're actually sitting down. What occupies your time now that you're not directing a play?
Well, now I'm reading and getting ready for next season. So a multitude of plays and a lot of think time, trying to figure out what exactly we need to do next year for our season, for our audience, and for ourselves. It's an exciting time. It's kind of frustrating because there are deadlines that have to be met. We have to have these plays chosen by Christmas so we can start advertising them for next year. So we're a year ahead, over a year ahead of time in our planning. And probably the most hardest part of my job is choosing a season, you know, to choose 6 plays that are going to work for you, be attractive to you, hopefully work for the audience, something that you really want to do, because that's very much a part of pulling off a good job, is the desire to do a play, is extremely difficult.
do you
blame, you know?
I mean, so you're on the line.
Yes, I'm on the line, and you know, nobody's going to like all six plays, you know, and you can't really balance them. It's just, I think the important thing is having a fine piece of material to be able to cast wonderful actors in that role, and hopefully the audience is going to like it. They'll appreciate some things more than others. There are people who have loved Rainmaker who aren't going to care very much for Stage Struck, but it's also vice versa. You can't please the entire audience, but hopefully it will be entertaining in a good sense, enough to hold your attention or say something meaningful or move you or make you cry or make you scream or something exciting will happen, and that's what we look for.
You got a nice look?
All right. Let's see here. Okay, this will be Nancy Mendoza. What is your title here?
Retail and Promotions Manager for Tacoma Center.
Okay. Not for Cornerstone, for Tacoma Center.
Well, I work for Cornerstone.
Right, okay.
Cornerstone, she works for Cornerstone.
Maybe we'll make it Nancy Mendoza of Cornerstone. That's okay. Just as easy for people to get a hold of, I think. Okay, fine. All right, here we come in 3, 2, 1. Our guest on PM Tacoma right now, Nancy Mendoza of the Cornerstone Corporation. Nancy, nice to see you again.
Oh, thank you so much, Art.
You have that typical Nancy Mendoza smile. You're always lit up about something, aren't you, Nancy?
Well, there's lots of things happening downtown Tacoma these days, and I'm real excited about getting ready for the holidays. The merchants are sprucing up their shops, and we're working hard at getting our decorations up the day after Thanksgiving.
Nancy, you would look great in a nice white beard and a red suit. What do you think?
Well, Art, I just talked you into being Santa Claus, and that's going to be fun. We're going to have VIP Santa Clauses down at the Tacoma Center Market on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays starting December 1st, so please join us.
You pushed the right button asking me to be Santa Claus. I love playing Santa Claus, so that was a very easy sale for you. But before all the Christmas things happen, a lot of things are going on, like right now at the Tacoma Center Market.
Right. We've got a history photo display right now in the market, and it's being sponsored by Pierce County Library, photos from the Northwest Room, and Woodworth and Company have loaned about 20 photographs to the market, and they're on display. They're wonderful. They date back to the early 1900s, and I think anybody who grew up in Tacoma would really have a nice visit with us in the market and viewing these photographs. It's exciting. We're also trying to find some of the photographs we don't have all the answers to. So if you happen to have grown up in Tacoma and recognize anybody there, we'll probably give you a little bonus if you can help us identify some of the people in the photographs.
You know, it's fun to see the changes, but it's also fun to see buildings that have stayed basically the same since that era. And we can sure pick a few of them out, can't we?
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, one of the things, another activity that's going to take place in the market, and Tacoma Center merchants feel real strongly that the holidays and children go hand in hand. And we are putting up a 14-foot Christmas tree and opening up the market on Saturday, November 24th, 2 days after Thanksgiving, and inviting all the children of Tacoma to come down and make hands-on ornaments for our tree, and also one to take home for their own Christmas tree. We think it's an exciting project. They're going to make stars. They're going to string popcorn and cranberries. You know, the holidays are the essence of children, and we just want to make sure that everybody gets into the spirit, and we're going to help you do that.
You know, Nancy, I think back to a year ago when the market first opened, there was that picture in the Tribune of a big open space and of a choir singing that outnumbered the people down to look at it sing. I think, what a nice change just in the course of 1 year to look at what's happening this year compared to a year ago.
Well, I think when people visit the market on Saturday the 24th, I think they're going to see a major change. There is not going to be an empty space in the market. We're filling it up for the holidays. We've got a number of local craft people who are moving in for the whole month. You're going to be able to buy poultry and kitchen products and flowers and bread and anything you need for the holidays, you can get down at the Tacoma Center Market in Quartzsea. You know, we don't want to be your last stop. We want to be your first stop.
I think what's nice is people can definitely come down and spend easily an entire afternoon between Broadway Plaza, Quartzsea, and the market and see a whole lot of very unique items.
Well, you know, we have art galleries. You could almost spend a whole afternoon visiting American art or contemporary crafts, which opens up. They have their grand opening tonight at 5 o'clock.
I'm headed there next, in fact.
Yes, me too. And we've got some great new restaurants down here. A number of the Arc Deli, Macon Bacon, Fujia's, which if you haven't tried sushi in Tacoma, you must try our restaurant because it's super.
I did that last Friday, and it is great. I can vouch for that personally. We're following each other around here, I think, Nancy.
I think we are. You know, or what a lot of people do in Tacoma is they come to the market and they eat their way through the market. we sell pizza by the slice, and you can buy candy at the popcorn patch, and anything you want for lunch, we'll have it for you.
Nancy, on the business side of things right now, this is obviously a very important holiday season for all the development down here. I know that you've got to attract people back down here, and the holiday season has got to be a prime time to do that.
Well, it is, and I think that we offer the shoppers an alternative to the big shopping plazas. There's no traffic jams. It's unrushed. We're friendly. We provide that personal service, and I think that's what the shopper today is looking for.
We're going to talk with you and Jim Guilfoyle in a couple of weeks about something big you're putting together with Pierce Transit. It's nice to see you're getting cooperation from major agencies like Pierce Transit.
Well, I think all city agencies are, you know, really excited about the new development downtown and want to ensure that that success continues. And I'm sure the people of Tacoma do also. So we invite you to come down and get involved with us.
Yeah, you hit on the key thing there, the people of Tacoma. How is the response going right now? We haven't talked to you for some time about it. Is it starting to build?
No question about it. We see new faces every day, and we just want to let people know that, you know, we are accessible. There is free parking on Saturday. You know, we've got a security guard on duty. You know, it's a safe, fun, calm, clean place to shop, and we've got the stuff that you need for the holidays.
The street is open now down Broadway Plaza. I know you counted on that to be a traffic builder, and we're hoping it's worked that way. Has it worked that way?
Yes, and it's really nice to be able to pull up right in front of the shop. No walking and easy. A lot of people are going right from work, driving into the Broadway Plaza, running up the steps, getting their wine, cheese, chickens, breads, and desserts, and taking them home for those dinners that they forgot to prepare. You know, it's easy. And we want to let people know that the street is open, that parking is not a problem, and our merchants are here to serve you.
What will the hours for the various merchants in the area be for the holiday season?
We're going to be open from 10 to 6 and from 10 to 5 on Saturdays. And, you know, please give us a try.
Nancy, again, let's hit the things going on right now. First, the photographic display.
Yes, that is now through Saturday from 10 to 5, and that's in the Tacoma Center Market. And then on Saturday, November the 24th, from 10 to 3 p.m., we're inviting the children of Tacoma to come down and help us decorate our Tacoma Market Christmas tree and make ornaments both for our tree and their own Christmas tree that's at home.
And I'll get in a personal plug. Be sure and come down December 8th when I'll play Santa Claus for you, right?
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Art.
Nancy, thanks an awful lot. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Nancy Mendoza, our guest on PM Tacoma. We'll have more coming up for you now right after this. But then, okay, here we come with Carol Virock Sutherland. I said it right this time. I'll probably mess it up when it counts. Okay. Coming up in 3, 2, 1. PM Tacoma is visiting the latest addition to the Broadway Plaza area, the Contemporary Craft Gallery, which is opening right now, as a matter of fact. Our guest is Carol Virock Sutherland. Carol, kind of an exciting day for you, I imagine.
It sure is. Yeah, very exciting.
How far back does the planning go for all of this?
Well, I've been thinking about this for about 2 years. So, and it's been about 2 years thinking and about 8 months in really planning and gathering the artists and searching out the artwork and the artists that I want to represent. And so it's been quite a long process, but it's been very well worth it. As you can see, the gallery's beautiful.
We're going to ask you for a tour in just a second. Now, is the Broadway Plaza definitely the right location for this?
Oh, I think so, yeah. It is really a beautiful new building, and there's a new energy here in downtown Tacoma. And with the new Sheraton and the Convention Center right across the street, we're going to get a lot more foot traffic, and it's very close to American Art and the Downtown Gallery and the Tacoma Art Museum, and so we are beginning to get a nice art community going here, and downtown Tacoma, and the theater too. So I think that's nice. It's going to draw people downtown and get them involved in the arts.
You're in the brand new Financial Center building. People might have to look for you just a bit. Describe where you are.
Oh boy, yeah. If you come down Broadway, it's just a brand new street that's opened up in the last month. You will come to the last building. The center is the tower, is the Financial Center, and there's a low building right next to that, and that is where we are in the corner in the patio area. We have a nice patio right in front of the gallery, so it's a people place.
It's going to be a great place in the summer, isn't it?
You bet, you bet. Nice place to spill out for openings.
It's not a bad place for right now, as a matter of fact, either. Tell us what makes this gallery unique.
Well, what makes it unique is that it's a gallery that represents fine art and craft media. A lot of artists are really stretching, and they're moving out from painting and drawing and watercolor, and they're going to other medias to express themselves. And we have handmade paper, we have fiber, we have wood, and we have abstract wood, we have very traditional wood working techniques done in very up-to-date manners. For example, that chair, that beautiful chair.
Let's walk over and look, why don't we? You take us on a little tour here. This is nice. We can walk and talk a little bit. Tell us about this.
You bet. Well, this is a chair by Chris Webb, and it's very modern, and he has it covered in a black and white cowhide, and he has added a very humorous touch and a little plastic fly there on the chair, and that's kind of nice.
The fly does come with the chair,
I assume. I think so. Yeah, right. I think so. And over here we have a real interesting piece by Linda Nino, and the name of this piece is, I'm going to check it real quick, Bum Steer, and this is, she's taken a bicycle handlebars, and she's made a table, actual table with glass top, and it looks like a steer, and it has, he's kind of hanging out here. He's got long legs, and he's got a cigarette in his mouth, and she has a wonderful sense of humor, and her sculpture is really reflects that.
On the Great American Smokeout Day, it's got a cigarette. Can you believe that?
Is that today? I didn't.
Today is the day. You've had enough on your mind today, I think, without worrying about that. Let's keep looking. What's this next door now here?
Okay, this is a stoneware raku piece, and it's kind of free form, and there's a lot of texture to it. And this piece is done by McGuire Nixon. I'm not familiar with his name. And Hickson. And he does. She does some really nice raku ware. And then we have Rick Mahaffey, who is a Tacoma artist, and he does beautiful, beautiful pots. They're lovely pastel colors, grays and pinks and blues, and he uses very classical approach to clay, very classical shapes.
Here's some wearable art right here.
Yeah, isn't that lovely? That's a woven piece, and she's used many different fibers in that piece. It's lavender and pink and blue, and she does a lot of kimono-style pieces. She's one of the foremost weavers in the state. I'm gonna
go take a look at some names. I know it's hard to keep them all straight here.
Anita Mayer, yeah.
A lot of textile art, and I really do enjoy it. The textures of it really are nice.
Yeah, they really are. And these are pieces that are done. Anita uses the woven art, and she's taken that traditional weaving, and she's done it in very modern, update terms. And that's exactly what the paper Elaine Levansky has done with this paper piece. She's taken rice paper, and she's done a collage using, she dyes the paper and then she collages them all together, and you get this wonderful depth, the dark areas going receding and the light areas coming out, and lots of variety and variegated colors in her work. And so she's using the old, rice paper, and she's really using it in a new way. It's exciting.
I see lots. jewelry over here in the case now. The jewelry is, in fact, we just talked about a month ago with Leslie Jane over at American Art Company, who does some great art jewelry. I see you have some similar ideas here.
Oh, yes. We've got some wonderful jewelers represented. This one, if we can walk around, we can see the front of it.
Well, before we leave, let's look at this piece right here. This is really something. Describe this for us.
This is Cheryl Leo Gwynn, and she does enamels, and it's very much a modern approach to enameling. It's very large, and she's got it's a mixed media piece. She has some clay and mirrors and plastic and enamels, and it's really playful.
All right, here we come with Gene Anderson coming up in 3, 2, 1. There have been a lot of great baseball teams from the Tacoma area, certainly. Some of them in the Pacific Coast League, the old Western International League, and many other leagues around. You know, one team, though, I think always is going to stand out in the memory of sports fans in this area, and that is the Cheney Studs. Our guest right now is Gene Anderson. Gene has been involved with Burns Lumber, with Ben Cheney going back many years, and very much involved with the Cheney Studs as well. It's nice to have you here, Gene.
Yeah, thank you, Don. It's nice to have you invite me.
This will be a very, very, I think, emotional weekend probably for you and all the guys connected with the Studs.
You're probably right. I've had so many things going on in my head this week that it hasn't really set in that it's going to be kind of a shock towards Sunday evening.
A 30th anniversary baseball reunion for the Cheney Studs. Where is it all going to be taking place?
Well, we're going to have the affair down at the Tacoma Dome, a convention center. Starting at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
So you've got the best house in town to have your party in, huh?
You betcha.
How many of the Studs are going to be coming back to Tacoma this weekend, do you think?
Well, we look for a crowd of right around 150.
That many, huh?
Yeah. Well, after 30 years, we lose track of a lot of them, but we were able to track down probably 90% of them.
Is that right?
Surprising.
With most reunions, the word starts spreading, and pretty soon you're not calling them, they're calling you. Did that happen with this thing?
Exactly. Today, I got the most calls of any day, and we put together quite a few names today of way back in the 1955, 56 era, believe it or not. Yep.
Let's throw some names at the people. Some longtime baseball fans will recognize a lot of these. Let's throw a few names at them.
Okay. Some of our major leaguers that we've had are Steve Whitaker, Rick Austin, Mike White, Bob Stinson, and Craig Caskey.
Now, wait, but Bob Stinson, how did Bob Stinson play for the Studs?
Well, Bob Stinson took his spot on the Cheney Studs in fact, with just last year and the year before after his stint with the Mariners.
Oh, so we came to you after his big league
days.
That's
right.
Now, that's a little switch from the norm, isn't it?
That's right. The rest of them are on the way up, and I'm not going to say that Bob was on the way down.
Scrap Iron wouldn't like that.
No. He just wanted to play just a little bit longer. We enjoyed having him on the team. Of course, our main star, of course, was Ron Say.
Absolutely. It's tough to beat a name like Ron Say, that's for certain. Looking back through the years, Ben Cheney was such a great, great baseball fan. He was a sports fan, I know, in general, but baseball was always Ben's game, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And he was I guess we call him a frustrated major leaguer shortstop, but he just had baseball in his blood. By the way, I'm negligent in saying that Bud Dave Haverlow, your own man here,
that's right,
was a Cheney Stud.
Well, the tuna's going to be there too on Sunday.
Well, he will be.
In fact, Dave would be here tonight, except that he's in Moses Lake right now, I believe, visiting his folks. So that's why Dave's not with us this evening. As we look back through the years, tell us how the Studs got started. 30 years back, how did it all get rolling?
Well, actually, even before the Seattle and Tacoma area had their team with Ben sponsoring it, we had one down in Medford, Oregon, that he had had for probably 4 or 5 years before that in what they called down there the semi-pro league, which, in effect, the timber league. All the major timber companies, the lumber companies, sponsored teams. And from that point, it was in 1954 that Joe Budnick, our first coach, presented the plan to Ben Cheney that he had a group of what he had previously coached, the Rainier High Stars, that he'd like to take under Ben's wings and go on from that point, which he did. And from 54 on, Ben had Cheney Studs baseball teams.
Where did you guys play most of your games? What ballparks did you play in?
Well, we played in Burien. We played in Lower Woodland. We played in Interlake. We played in the Heidelberg Stadium. We played in quite a few of the local park areas in this Seattle-Tacoma.
No, I know in 60 you won the national championship. That was the best team you ever had that year, you think?
That was our pride and joy right there. That was it, right? At that time, we had a group of 22 young men that were really in their prime, and most of them were local people. Earl Hyder was one of our people. Bob McGinnis. Those names I'm sure the local fans will remember.
I've heard Bob McGinnis could really play.
Yeah, just ask him.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but you can jump right in there with that one, Gene. You can afford to say that. I can't afford to say that.
Well, Bob and I have a rapport. We can joke one to the other, but he was a good ball player.
Now, Bob runs the People's Center today, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he does a great job over there. I know, and still a great baseball enthusiast, certainly.
Yes, he certainly is. He's been a big help to me on this reunion also.
Great. And who managed that 60 team?
That was Joe Budnick.
That was Budnick, okay. Mm-hmm. I know Doug MacArthur managed, 1 year for you?
He managed our Tacoma Cheney Stud team in 1957.
If I didn't mention Doug Out Doug, I'd hear from him, I know.
We got to
work Doug in there somehow. You know, just to clarify for a minute, Gene, what level of competition was this? What was the organization under which the Cheney Studs played?
Well, it was strictly amateur, semi-pro, some people call it. However, back in the, I believe it was in the early or late 50s, we had a game, a series of games against the Western International, I believe it was single A or double A at that time, Wenatchee, Tri-Cities, and those type of teams, and we did a good job. I think we won more than we lost.
Is that right?
I'd like to hear that, but
that was the truth. Yeah,
it was. We played those here in Tacoma at the Cheney Stadium.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You did play some games at Cheney Stadium.
Well, then. It was the old Cheney Stadium at that time. It was the one at 38th and Lawrence, where the current Washington Natural Gas Company is now.
And that was called Cheney Stadium there.
Yeah, after Ben purchased the area from the defunct professional team, then it became Cheney Stadium.
Now, did you ever play any games in the new Cheney Stadium?
Yeah, we played there only in tournament time.
Mm-hmm.
They had the regional tournaments, Northwest tournaments at that time in Heidelberg. And we even had the Nationals there at one time. We weren't that successful that year, unfortunately.
Is that right? Yeah.
We were there, but we didn't win it.
Gene, what was your involvement with the Studs?
Well, I was mainly a salesman of the lumber for the Cheney Lumber Company, but Ben opted to ask me if I would take care of his athletic teams and... At the time, there was only about two. And I said, sure, fine. And then about 4 or 5 years later, we had 23 teams that I had to take care of. But it was fun, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
I think you're going to really enjoy this Sunday night. It should be a very special night, especially with Ron Say coming back home to be part of the evening.
Yes, Ron's coming back just specifically for this. He's going to stay on, and he usually comes here for the Thanksgiving Day
sure
holiday
does.
With his folks, and he came in a little early for this event, and we're looking forward to seeing him that evening.
It should be quite a night. Now, can the fans who might like to come and be part of this evening attend, or is it strictly for the players?
Well, this is strictly for the players their wives and the families, and we'll just have to kind of hold it to that. We've made arrangements for that many people, and I think beyond that, I think the Dome people wouldn't exactly appreciate.
There will be a lot of great baseball talent in the room of the Convention Center of the Tacoma Dome this Sunday, the 30th baseball reunion of the Cheney Studs. Thank you, Gene, for coming by and giving us some of the history of the Studs.
Well, thank you very much.
Our guest has been Gene Anderson of Burns Lumber, taking a look at the Cheney Studs. More of PM Tacoma coming up for you now right after this.